Monster Man, Episode 183, Devils, Part 2. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through the D chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. And in particular, we're taking a look at devils, the lawful evil counterpart to chaotic evil demons. Before we do that, though, I want to thank a new Patreon supporter. Yes, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman and pledged as little as $1 a month to support the show. By doing this, you'll get access to lots of bonus content, bonus episodes of the show. I've just uploaded a scenario that I wrote, a little two-page pamphlet format scenario, and I'm hoping to try and, you know, as I make more of those, to put them up there as well, so that's just another fun little bonus. At the $2 level, you'll also get access to my other podcast, Patron Deities, and at the $5 level, you get the opportunity to choose a topic for a special episode that goes out to everybody. So, thank you very much, Patrick Harris, for your support of the show. It means a lot to me. I also got a lot of good listener mail, but the one that I really wanted to call attention to is a correction from previous episode. I talked about something that I called the Belvoir witchcraft case, and I said that because it is spelled B-E-L-V-O-I-R. But Steve Dempsey informs me that it is in fact pronounced Beaver, and I for one believe him. So thanks, Steve. You know, the fact of the matter is that it was work, like, okay, that one is British, but as we range across the mythology and folklore of the world, I am going to mispronounce some of these things, and I really do appreciate finding out about it. So if I mangle something from your culture, let me know. All right, let's talk devils. The next devil on our list is Bael, a Duke of Hell. There isn't very much to say about Bael as he appears in the Monster Manual 2. He's a big lad, and he likes to hit people with a mace. And he seems, a Morningstar, strictly speaking. And he's got sort of bull-like horns, and he's sort of golden. I mean, you know, he's devilish. Bael is, like many of the devils in this chapter, one of the ones that appears in the demonological text, the Lesser Key of Solomon the King, the Clavicula Salomonis Regis. And that is a 17th century Goetic text. It's all about different kinds of demons or spirits. It was most famously translated in the 19th century by Samuel Mathers, alias MacGregor Mathers, with an introduction by Aleister Crowley. So some pretty big name modern occultists there. Anyway, Bael appears in this book, and this is what it says about him. The first principal spirit is a king ruling in the east, called Bael. He maketh thee to go invisible. He ruleth over 66 legions of infernal spirits. He appeareth in diverse shapes, sometimes like a cat, sometimes like a toad, and sometimes like a man, and sometimes all these forms at once. He speaketh hoarsely. This is his character, blah, blah, blah. So it's like a seal that you can use to command him. And there's a wonderful illustration showing the kind of sad-looking human face of Bael and a cat and a toad face, and then all on top of a bunch of spider legs, which is actually pretty grim, and not at all like the cool Bael that appears in Monster Manual 2. Anyway, the name Bael probably comes from Baal, or is in fact sometimes pronounced Bael. And if you will recall this character from the Bible, lots of different people with whom the Israelites come into conflict in the Bible, they worship Baal or Bael or whatever. And there isn't a single deity to whom this actually refers. Baal or Bael is just a word that means Lord or King or owner. So it's used to describe a god in the same way that a Christian might say the Lord. And it turns up a lot in various kind of Mediterranean and Near Eastern cultures. So for example, the name Hannibal comes from that root, right? So lots of Phoenician names have that bull element in them. So Hannibal, Hasdrubal would be another one. And in fact, we've already seen this root appear in the Monster Manual because that's the root from which the name Beelzebub comes. Again, I grew up saying Baal, and they said Baal on Mystery Science Theater 3000, but on the other hand, Lord Byron certainly thought that it was Bael, right? That's in The Destruction of Sennacherib. The widows of Ashur are loud in their wail, and the idols are broke in the temple of Bael. And I went and looked it up, and it says either, so who knows? So, I mean, he's fine, right? He's okay. He's basically a devil, but like a lot of the devils and some of the demons too, you know, what Bale has going for him is name recognition. It was a little bit like Pazuzu. You know, not that people necessarily are all that familiar with the specific source, whether that's the Bible or whether that's early modern demonology or whatever, but those names have some impact. And so it is, you know, it is better to tell your players that they're up against, I don't know, a fellow that we're about to run into, Moloch, than it is Frazerblu. Because in addition to sounding a little bit silly, Frazerblu, unless you are a hardcore Greyhawk head, has no name recognition. But Moloch means something to people, even if they couldn't necessarily tell you what that is. Okay, so after this Duke of Hell, we've got a lesser devil, and this is the Bearded Devil. Now, you will be astonished to find that the Bearded Devil is a devil with a beard. And they can attack you with their beard, which is pretty cool, I guess. In addition to a beard, they are also armed with a special kind of polearm. There are a lot of unique polearms in this book. Now, we know that AD&D First Edition is fascinated by polearms. And I can only assume that this comes from an enthusiasm for kind of late medieval warfare, or maybe just a desire to have a lot of different kind of fantasy weapons. You know, I can see how if you were looking for a bunch of differentiable weapons in the armory of the Middle Ages, you would go for polearms. Still, though, a lot of polearms in here. The thing that I really like about the Bearded Devil is that the Bearded Devil has a reputation for kind of wild aggression and cruelty, which is not necessarily what devils want, right? These are lawful evil. And so then they have this, like, unpredictably aggressive subordinate, these more calculating princes of hell, and they find that actually kind of a nuisance. And I like that. You know, like, in a classic gangster movie, what you've got is a more calculating boss with a psycho henchman. Or maybe a slightly more humanized boss, right? Like, think of Lord of the Flies, where Jack, for all that he's the bad guy, human nature is the bad guy, but you know what I mean. For all that he's kind of the villain of the piece, Jack is a lot more human and relatable than Roger. Or the way in which De Niro's Al Capone in The Untouchables is this, you know, definitely a bad guy and a dangerous, violent person, but, you know, more humanized than the almost supernaturally evil Nitty played by Billy Drago. And I get very upset about that character because Frank Nitti was a real person who wasn't like that at all. And, you know, nobody threw him off a roof, but whatever. The point is that this is a very good narrative role for a member of a villain group. That villain groups should have a loose cannon. You know, we created this supervillain team up, and we are constantly frustrated by the fact that one of the members of our supervillain team up is the Joker, and that's a real pain in the neck. Well, I don't know about the Joker, but when we put together the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, we are constantly frustrated by having to keep Sabretooth in line, that kind of thing. And I think that the Bearded Devil fulfills that role, and it's great. It allows you to get a good fight in, kind of in the middle of your intrigue-based devil scenario. Like, you're fighting this Bearded Devil, and then the higher-ranking devil comes in, and he's, you know, delicately wiping the blood off his claws, and he's like, I apologize for the rudeness of my associate. He will be suitably punished. Great. Classy intro for a villain. Get some action in the middle just to make sure people don't get bored. Top notch. The design of the Bearded Devil is neither here nor there, and in modern D&D, I think, is actually pretty underwhelming. But never mind. That's cosmetic. We can change that. So, pretty good value for money with Bale and the Bearded Devil. I think things are looking good so far. We're going to get right up to the very tippy top of the demonic hierarchy in our next episode with the Archdevil Belial, or possibly Belial, and also Glacia, the Princess of Hell, daughter of Asmodeus. So, I got a lot to say about these two, so please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.